This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
In Newfoundland, it looks very optimistic at the moment, and scientists believe that within the next 5 years, the fishery could be back to a robust size and healthy enough to allow for a really substantial commercial fishery, something that hasn't existed there for 24 years now.
Since 1992, fish and chip fans may have noticed that there was no cod in their classic fried dish. That's the year that the Canadian government issued a moratorium on fishing the popular tasty species. It devastated the Newfoundland region's economy, but it had to be done. The cod population had dwindled to nearly nothing at that time due to overfishing. Our guest today on Sea Change Radio is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Abel, who recently wrote a piece for the Boston Globe about how the cod has actually rebounded in recent times. We talk about the region's historical relationship with cod, how science-informed policy can help reverse human-generated ecological damage, and Abel's upcoming film on the subject, Sacred Cod. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by David Abel. He's an environmental writer for the Boston Globe. David, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
So, you wrote a very interesting piece recently as part of a larger project following the resurgence of the cod off of the waters of Newfoundland, the Grand Banks. So, what was the inspiration for following this story?
Well, cod in Newfoundland is sort of central to their culture, just as it is to the culture of New England. And as an environmental reporter for the Boston Globe, I cover the fisheries a lot, and the concerns about cod and the tradition of cod fishing is a huge part of the lifeblood of this region. It's what brought settlers to the United States. It's what financed the American Revolution. It's what really built up a lot of the wealth in this region in the early part of our history, and has sustained that for many years since then. And so I have followed the trials and tribulations of the cod fishery in the New England area, and have looked to what happened in Newfoundland as a cautionary tale, and now potentially as some promise of what could come and how long it might take for the fishery to rebound.
Let's go back 20 years before we go 200 years back. What happened to the cod stocks two decades ago?
Well, if you're talking about Newfoundland, the cod fishery in Newfoundland was one of the largest fisheries in the entire world. And there were major factory-style ships from Russia and from Norway and from all over Europe that used to come to fish in those waters. And they had Canada had a huge fishery of its own. And for many years, that fishery was able to sustain huge amounts of fishing. But that fishing really depleted the resource over time, to the point that environmental changes in the late 80s contributed to the problems of overfishing, and that created a cataclysm for the fishery in Newfoundland. There used to be in the 60s a catch of some 800,000 metric tons of cod, and that declined somewhat over the years, but there was a huge amount of catch in the early 80s, and the size of the fishery was substantial. Some say that the mature population of cod, which is how most scientists measure the population of fisheries, was something like 1 million metric tons. By 1992, after years of scientists cautioning fishermen and policymakers about the size of the catch, the population of cod in Newfoundland declined to something like 150,000 metric tons, and then within a few years to something like just 10,000 metric tons, an infinitesimal amount of cod compared to what was there historically. That led ultimately in 1992 to Canadian authorities deciding to declare a moratorium on all of cod fishing in Newfoundland. And that resulted in a terrible blow to their economy, resulting in the layoffs of tens of thousands of fishermen and truckers and processing plant employees and all of the people that were intimately connected with the fishing industry there. And that ban on cod fishing has been in effect for the most part since 1992.
And it seems to be working. Why don't you give us an update on where things are in terms of the cod populations?
So for years, the federal government has very aggressively enforced its ban on cod fishing. But in recent years, as the waters there have changed temperatures, and seemingly climate change has actually benefited cod in Newfoundland to some extent, the cod population in the last few years has started to rebound. And an assessment of the cod population done this past spring found that there are now something like 300,000 metric tons of cod, which is roughly double what the size of the population was estimated to be at 2 years ago. And scientists think that that population is likely to double in size again in 2 years. So many scientists there think that they're watching the exponential growth of the cod fishery. And within several years, maybe 5 years, the fishery could be back to its historical size, and that might allow for a robust fishery to resume after many years of it being completely in abeyance.
And the reasons for the rebound of this fish is not so clear. It's not just that there was a moratorium. Why don't you explain maybe how the change in water temperatures may have affected the populations as well of the cod?
Sure. So in the late 1980s, for reasons that are not 100% clear to me or to scientists, the water temperatures off Newfoundland declined substantially. And many people think that that led to the dying off of the forage species, the bottom of the food chain in the waters off of Newfoundland, of a fish called capelin. It's a kind of smelt. It's a small silvery fish that brings humpback whales and cod and all kinds of fish feed on the capelin. The capelin population crashed, and that was the primary food for cod, and that, scientists say, is the most likely cause for the crash of cod. But cod also exist and thrive in a narrow band of temperatures, and so their numbers were very difficult to maintain and to increase in those waters and without their primary food species. But as the waters have warmed in recent years, primarily due to climate change, the waters have made it more amenable for fish like capelin and cod to rebound, and that's what we're seeing now.
So the warming waters allowed capelin, one of the cod's main foods, to rebound, and thus cod stocks started to climb as well off of Newfoundland. Was this a global population that we're examining, or is the snapshot of Newfoundland unique only to that fishing zone?
Right. Well, fisheries are really distinct for the regions that they're in.
Maybe first you could define what a fishery is.
Sure. Okay. So each region has its own population of a species of fish. And so they rise and fall based on the environmental conditions that they live in. So there are species of fish that migrate across the oceans, and they're and you can't say the same things about them, like whales, for example. But for fish like cod that stay relatively close to their spawning grounds, their migration is a lot smaller, and so their health, their viability as a species, as a stock, depends on their environment. And if their environment changes substantially, whether it's due to pressure from fishing, whether it's due to the temperature of waters, whether it's due to the acidity of waters, that has a great impact on their ability to thrive. And we saw direct impacts, and we've seen direct impacts to fisheries all around the world as environments change. But we're seeing that very clearly in New England with cod here, as well as cod in Newfoundland.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Boston Globe reporter David Abel. David, you mentioned earlier how the earliest European settlers in North America came because of cod, largely because of cod. I thought they were chasing migratory patterns of the cod at the time, or was that not the case?
That's not how I understand it. I think they were searching for large populations, and you know, I think explorers sent back messages that the waters off Cape Cod looked pretty good. That's why they called it Cape Cod, and that's why they sent people to our waters, and they were also Portuguese explorers and other sailors from that part of the world found the Grand Banks and found these immense fisheries there, and that is what, as far as I understand it, brought settlers.
I guess in Mark Kurlansky's book, Cod, I just remember a little earlier than the Portuguese explorers, they talk about the Vikings and how they had salt cod, but maybe it was just salt fish of any sort that allowed them to travel farther than any exploring peoples had been able to before, because they had this food supply, which was the salted fish. I'm not sure if it was cod.
Right. Well, that was more of a technological innovation. So that allowed them to range farther, so that they could have greater stocks in there, that they could take with them. And it allowed them also to fish further afield and then bring them back so that the fish wouldn't go bad.
So when a Newfoundland cod fishery gets depleted, are the cod dying off, or are they going elsewhere?
The cod are dying off. I mean, what's happened here is we had a very similar course of events as happened in Newfoundland. And we were also having a lot of years of overfishing, and there were certain changes in some kinds of fish populations, in forage fish populations, something called sandlance here, which had an impact on cod. And the warming waters here have also made it harder for the cod to thrive, because our waters have gotten too warm, unlike the middle ground, that sort of nice middle ground that they've seemed to arrive at in Newfoundland. What happened here is that after years of overfishing and environmental changes, in the fish population, the cod population, had declined so dramatically that in 2014, scientists estimated that the cod population in the waters off New England had declined to roughly 3% of what would sustain a healthy fishery. And as a result, the federal scientists, the federal government, NOAA, declared a moratorium in 2014 on commercial fishing of cod. And that led to similar impact on our economy as what occurred in Newfoundland. And we are seeing the decimation of our fishing fleet here.
And that was my next question, was why would the Boston Globe be covering the cod stocks of Newfoundland? Why don't you explain the far-reaching effects of this fishery?
So the Boston Globe decided to look to what happened in Newfoundland 25 years ago and what's happening now, because we are going through something very similar to what they went through in 1992 when their government declared a moratorium on fishing cod. And in 2014, after our cod population plummeted and the federal government declared a moratorium on fishing cod in New England, we decided that it would be worth looking at what happened there many years ago, the impact on the population, and how long it's taken for the fishery to rebound, and what's happening now that they are seeing the resurgence of cod, and how they're preparing to resume making it a part of their economy.
What I was scratching my head about when I was reading your piece was all the mechanisms and businesses that were in place to ship cod out to the rest of the world pretty much shut their doors during this fallow period. They weren't really able to just switch to another fish. You mentioned one processing plant that was able to start working on snow crab and other shellfish, which flourished while the capelin and cod were depleted in the region. But it seems like those industries were focused uniquely on processing cod. Why were there not other fish that they could bring to market?
Well, I'm not sure if this is the right analogy, but it's like in Saudi Arabia, you have oil, and you have such a bounty of oil that essentially dominates the economy there. And as much as they might try to diversify into other fields, there is such a revenue stream that it is automatically dominating the economy. And that's what happened for centuries in Newfoundland. And you had an economy that was pretty much based around cod fishing. In fact, they don't even call cod cod in Newfoundland. It's so much a part of the history that they just call it fish. And everything else has a name, but cod are just fish.
I was looking at it the same way. I was thinking cod fish are fish, so why not just fish for other fish? But there are no other fish there that are worth catching, or why cod?
No. Well, there might have been, but there was such a bounty of cod there that the entire economy was based around it. So fishing boats all over history, you had plants, processing plants that were designed to fillet the cod. You had fishermen whose boats were designed and rigged to catch cod, and you had a culture that was used to eating cod, and you had a business establishment that was designed around selling cod. And so it worked. It sustained generations, and there was no reason to pursue other kinds of fisheries for the most part. Of course, they later discovered oil there, and that did change the economy and has provided an outlet for a lot of people who were no longer able to go into the fishery. And of course, as you were suggesting, and the story that I was writing about touches on, is that there was a surge in the shellfish population around the time in Newfoundland that the cod population had plummeted. And there was a relationship between those two, some of it environmental and some of it based on the ecosystem. And environmentally, the shellfish thrive in colder waters than cod. They also were no longer the prey of cod, and cod are known to feast on juvenile shellfish. And so without the cod to eat them, their populations rebounded. But of course, as the cod return and the water temperatures change, there is now a serious decline in the shellfish population in Newfoundland.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time, baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. I went on down to my favorite fishing hole. Baby grabbed me a pole and line, threw my pole on and caught a 9-pound catfish. Now you know I brought him home.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Pulitzer Prize-winning Boston Globe reporter David Abel. David, why don't we talk about the science and the policy that went into place to save the cod in this Newfoundland fishery, which has a resonance all across the New England area as well as Canada. What kind of lessons can be applied elsewhere?
Well, there's no doubt that overfishing is a pervasive problem around the world, and stocks well beyond cod are threatened, and many have already gone commercially extinct. I think it's early to say what, if any, lessons there are, but I think one clear lesson that you could draw from what has occurred in Newfoundland is that if a population is being threatened, there has to be room for the population to rebound, and that means either closures or of fishing in certain areas, protecting the spawning fish so that they can rebuild their populations, and banning fishing over certain categories of fish. And that can be incredibly painful and incredibly difficult. I think Newfoundland was luckier than probably many other regions in the world because they have a healthy welfare state. And they were able to, despite all their suffering, they were able to provide to some extent for their fishermen there. And so there has to be some buy-in from government authorities in terms of monitoring a fishery and in terms of protecting a fishery and taking politically divisive and challenging steps. And there also has to be, I think, outreach and support for fishermen who everybody wants to continue to stay in business and serve a public that has a demand for fish, but find a way to do it sustainably.
So getting back to those fishermen who may have read your article, is there a chance that they can resume their careers from a couple decades ago that was put on hold as the cod stocks took a hit?
Well, for many of the fishermen that I had met in Newfoundland for the reporting of my recent story, they're in retirement or nearing retirement. The average age of a fisherman there is in his mid-60s for the most part.
Really? That's a very physical job too, right?
Yes, yes. And so they are going to have to find a way to replenish their fishery and find new blood, essentially.
And assuming that new blood will be on board, what kind of cod supply are scientists projecting will be there for the taking in the decades ahead? Is it a rosy outlook, or is this just a first step in the right direction?
Well, in Newfoundland, it looks very optimistic at the moment, and scientists believe that within the next 5 years, the fishery could be back to a robust size and healthy enough to allow for a really substantial commercial fishery, something that hasn't existed there for 24 years now.
I know in getting fish and chips growing up used to always be cod, but then they changed it, right? It was haddock and other fish for the last couple decades. Are we going to be having cod in our fish and chips again?
You know, that's certainly a possibility. We now in New England, where cod has disappeared in many places, now use dogfish, which used to be considered a trash fish, the kind of fish that fishermen would catch and throw overboard because it had no value to them. Now they're relying on dogfish for fish and chips that they essentially sell to Europe.
And this is more than just an article for you. Why don't you tell our listeners about Sacred Cod, the film that you're working on?
So for the last year and a half, I've been working on a documentary film that chronicles the demise of the fishery, of the cod fishery in New England, and looks at the impact and the devastation on our fishing industry and the businesses that support it. And we are going through in New England what Newfoundland went through some 24 years ago. And the film that I am in the process of completing, called Sacred Cod, The Fight for New England Tradition, was recently acquired by the Discovery Channel and will be screened around the world next spring, and will be screened in Boston in its premiere in a few weeks and at a film festival in Camden, Maine.
Well, please let me know when it airs so we can alert Sea Change listeners to check it out.
That would be great. Absolutely.
Boston Globe reporter David Abel, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
My pleasure.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Garage Atois, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and Taj Mahal.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.